broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresher Wealth Podcast with Matt Sorensen and Mark Kohler. We are excited to be with you for another amazing episode. And this is the episode that you're going to want that, I don't know, maybe we'll scare you. Maybe we'll freak you out about, you know, privacy and your identity and all the scary things happening on the internet, on the dark web, Mark. I know you're trained in the arts of the dark web.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as you think I'm, you know, techie or really have this covert, exciting life, I don't. My dark web is just, you know, Netflix. That's
Netflix. Okay.
Netflix. So if you've been there, it's pretty crazy. So,
Well, thanks everyone for being here. This, if you're new to the show, just so you know, this is about living the American dream, helping you save on taxes, build wealth. We're out there for those small business owners, investors, entrepreneurs out there. And thank you so much for being here on the show. We've got tons of shows. You can go to refreshyourwealth.com to learn more about it, find prior show episodes. And thanks, of course, for being with us today.
Well, Matt, can I introduce the topic here?
Yeah. I guess I kind of showed some skin and teased it a little bit. What are we talking about?
This is good. I think many of you are going to want to share this, hopefully on your social media or with a friend. Just send a link to the show. This is about cybersecurity, and we've got an amazing guest here at the bottom of the hour, really the director of information technology, SBA, out of Washington, D.C. She's joining us, Maria Rote, and her credentials are from Homeland Security to this, that, and another, amazing credentials. And she's going to talk with us. And I just want to set the stage with this point. Like, I'm looking at just different statistics that now there's these phishing sites, and we're going to have Maria define that for us, where websites and emails try to get us to share important data by getting into our computer and hacking our computers. There's phones. I've got a phone call app, Matt, you're going to love. I want to tell you about it. But just some stats, there's 1.5 million new phishing sites created each month. 95% of all attacks on enterprise networks are the result of successful spear phishing. Spear meaning they come right at your computer directly.
Okay, not the bait and hook type.
Yeah.
Not the bait and hook, okay.
Yeah, I had a little bait, but this one's spear, bam, they're in. 30% of phishing messages get opened by targeted users, and 12% of those users click on the malicious attachment or link.
Oh.
We had a new employee at our office last month that got an email like this and responded, and she thought it was me, and she started running with it. And she texted me and said, hey, I need your credit card for what you told me to buy. And I'm like, I didn't tell you to buy anything. She goes, no, you emailed me this morning about it. And she went to my assistant and said, I need Mark's card. And she just assumed too. She looked at the email and said, yeah, Mark must have emailed you late last night and told you to go do this. And I was like, no, I didn't. And we unraveled the whole thing. And it was someone acting as me having one of my employees give them a credit card. And I was like, what? And so, oh man, I mean, it's an onslaught. So it's crazy.
Dang.
Yeah.
She got speared, man.
Yeah, but I could go on and on with these stats.
Yeah, I think everyone's seen it. You know, we see them in our email inbox. Everyone's had to deal with it. And so we want to talk about it on the show today, try and give you guys some tips. Mark and I want to learn some things ourselves about what we can be doing, what the business owners can be doing out there to, because I think a lot of us out there, you know, those of you in business or self-employed, you know, you don't have a IT department necessarily. You know, we use IT consultants ourselves and have third party vendors for that. But you know, you don't have like your own IT department that, you know, for this. So we want to give you guys some tips and draw some out for those listening on what you should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to throw this out too. Before we get to our tax and legal tip, for those that are new listeners, we've got a regular tax and legal tip for small business owners and just regular tax-paying Americans that can help you out. But Matt, I found this new app. One of the things that drives my wife and I crazy, even her parents, like went on a tirade the other day, is, and I know all of you get it, do you get those phone calls that are from an area code that look like they're from around your town, right? And then they get on the phone and try to sell you something, or they're trying to get info from you, right? Oh, yeah. Do you get those, Matt, right?
Like every 9 out of 10 calls I get on my cell phone is a solicitor.
Yeah. And they play
it's
like
a solicitor selling me a car warranty for a car I no longer own. Like, you know, your warranty's about to expire. This is the credit card department. I don't, that they're trying to sell me some credit card thing. Oh my gosh, I can't.
It drives me crazy.
Or health insurance or whatever. Ugh.
Oh yeah, you're gonna love this. So Rossen reports, and I'm, you know, we're my wife's a Today Show list watcher in the morning, and Rossen reports did this, and it's all over YouTube too. It's been over the last year, but Rossen reports done 2 or 3 on this, and they're called these bots, these computers that will just auto dial everybody from phone numbers that are seem recognizable with your area code and local prefix. Anyway, so he highlighted a company that is trying to attack them by capturing the phone numbers they're using as their home base phone calls. And so, and they went on site to this company that's doing this. And I was like all into it watching, and they have an app. The app is called Answer Bots, Answer Bots, B-O-T-S.
Okay.
And what they do is they store in a database all these phone numbers these companies are using. And as soon as they cite one, you download this app on your phone and it'll scrub them. So if one of these phone numbers comes in, it routes it to their offices and their database, and they answer the call for you. And then they waste their time. And that's the only way to like stop these companies is if they can, they realize they've been caught and someone's wasting their time. It costs them money. And so,
yeah.
And they also put them on this do not call list. Da, 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 da. So anyway, I downloaded this app, and you get to choose the answer that you can create your own, or they have all these pre-programmed answering devices or machine type messages so that you waste their time. And then if it, and it's already, yeah. I was driving the other day and it goes, boom, just picked up a bot, and it doesn't answer. My phone doesn't ring, but I get a text, just picked one up.
Yeah.
And you, they record it and you can go listen to it of what they do. Now I want to see if we can play this on the air here. This is the answer bot that I've chosen. So
I'm sorry. Are you there? How can I help you?
Hey, you're going to do something about this?
I'm on the phone.
Johnny raised his right out for you.
No, I know we did, because I didn't. I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Why fart?
Anyway, this guy goes on and on, and basically they just come up with this fake answer going on, and then the person realizes it's just
recording. What one is this one you chose? Is this a?
This is called organic tomato.
The Cousin Eddie option, is that the option you went for?
Yeah, I went for the kind of the country guy answering. They have a Russian hello. Morgan Freeman does one. Then there's a woman that's like, "Hey, my baby's trying to sleep. Here, just a second. You got to talk quieter." And it just goes through. I mean, there's like tons of these. Anyway, but basically, what I love about it is, Matt, I'm not getting those calls anymore, because the answer bot picks them up and just wastes their time. Some of them go, "Hello, hello, I can't hear you. Hello," you know. And anyway, and you can make your own. And there's one from Cher, and there's just so many here.
That's Mr. hilarious. Mom
does one, but anyway, that's answer cool. bot.
How much is it? Is there a fee for it?
Well, it's $3.99 a month. And I thought I'd try it the first month and just see how it goes. But $4 to just, because I never know if I'm getting it's a real call from like my doctor or dentist or someone in the local town that I just don't have programmed on my phone, or if they're one of these bots. So,
dang. Well, ouch.
Kind of fun.
Okay. I love it. Well, today's show is brought to you by AnswerBots.
Yeah.
You can find it in the app store. Type in AnswerBots.
Yeah.
Enter discount code Mark Kohler for 10% off.
And yeah, and let me say this, that the answer bots are what your pre-programmed message is. The app is actually called RoboKiller. So I want
RoboKiller. Okay.
RoboKiller. Right. So search for RoboKiller, and then you'll choose your answer bot that kind of just thwarts these bozos out there. So it's RoboKiller. Anyway, okay. We need to get rolling. But I thought that as we're talking about cybersecurity today and people wasting your time and money, I thought that'd be a good little
app. Love it. Yeah. I like how it's not just like blocking them. I like how it's also, you know, playing some offense too. It's going back and wasting their time.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Love it. Do you want to give our legal tip?
Yeah, I got a legal tip. Let's get rocking.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, today's legal tip. This is coming from the State Department. The United States State Department. Very official.
Wow.
If you want a passport and you want to travel, you better have paid your taxes. There's been a law that was enacted a few years ago that said if you owe more than $52,000 in taxes, the State Department will deny your passport application.
What? Wow.
They are now enforcing this. The IRS has announced, the State Department has announced, they are now beginning to enforce this. And so if you owe more than $52,000 in unpaid taxes to the IRS, you will not be granted a passport. And if you have one, it may not be renewed or it could even possibly be revoked if you have a large debt. So wow. Be careful. Now they have said, if you're in this situation and you owe tax, if you are at least on a payment plan of paying it back, you can still get the passport approved. Or if you're in the process of an offer and compromise where you're working with the IRS to resolve it, then you can still get your passport application. But if you're just in a collection procedure, owing 52 grand or more, you don't have a payment plan with the IRS, you're not in an ongoing negotiation with them, your passport will be denied, not renewed, possibly even revoked. Scary, huh?
Wow. No, that, you know what? If I was the government, I'd do it, you know? It makes sense. Because if you're the gov and you want to live here and you want to be a citizen, you can't, it's almost like grounding you.
Yeah, you're grounded.
It's like your kids.
You can't go over to your friends.
You can't go to your friends. Well, I really want to go to Puerto Rico. Nope, you're grounded.
Well, Puerto Rico, do you need a passport for Puerto Rico?
That's bad.
It's a U.S. territory.
I really want to go to Australia.
There you go.
I don't know. That's embarrassing, but it is.
It's okay.
Yeah, but anyway, the point is, I want to leave town. Nope, you're grounded. Yeah. Until you pay your tax bill.
That's true. I mean, that's
get on a
pretty much
plan.
What it boils down to.
That's good.
I just thought that was a little surprising to see that in the news. It's starting to, apparently it's been around for a few years, that the law and requirement on it, but now it is actually starting to be enforced.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Ugh. Okay, well, my tax tip is somewhat related to this, and I think you guys are going to love it.
Tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay, well, my tax tip is, oh boy, Matt, you're going to have to help me on this one because this is a lot, but this is important this time of year. We are just 10 days away from the LLC and S corporation filing deadline. Now, if any of you listening have an S corporation or a two-member LLC. Now, if you just have a single-member LLC, you're okay. But this is the first part of the tip. This has got multi-parts. Part one is, if you have an LLC or an S corporation, two-member LLC, even if it's two IRAs or two, three or four 401ks, whatever it is, if it's a multi-member LLC, you have to file at least an extension by March 15th. Now, if you don't, the penalty is $195 per shareholder of a corporation or per member of an LLC each month or part thereof that you're not filing and you missed your extension. So then you got to move. You got to get going. The extension's good till September 15th. But if you don't file the extension, this late filing penalty kicks in. And they used to be a little easier to get out of. They're not easier. It's tough. We can try and we sometimes succeed. I'd say we probably have an 80% success ratio, but you got to pay us to go fight it out. So that's tip number one.
Yeah. Okay. I know it comes so fast, right? Man, yeah. Can you believe it's March? It's crazy.
March 15th. Now, you may want to comment from an IRA standpoint, being a resident IRA expert. This is your multi-member IRA LLC, even, right?
Yeah. Yeah, those that have the multi-member IRA LLC, you're filing a partnership. And as Mark said, the single-member LLCs, you own the LLC 100% or your IRA owns the LLC 100%. You don't have to stress about the IRS tax return, but for the federal tax return. But for those that have the partnerships, S-Corps, this is a big thing. Now, many of you, and I think a lot of taxpayers, particularly those getting refunds or those that have a little less activity, are filing on time. Many of you are extending. And I think most people actually, a lot of our clients, I personally extend. And that's okay. Don't feel bad extending. Although the other point on that, of course, for those that individually are taxpayers, you know, you have your own S-Corp or your partnership LLC, just keep in mind, you maybe want to make sure you're making your estimated tax payments, though. Your extension is just the filing of when do you file. You still should be paying in taxes. This is not delaying the payment of tax.
Yeah, I know. I'm coming to that tip. So part one is at least file the extension, and you actually reduce your chances of an audit. Probably 70% of our clients file extensions. And people, if you're new to business, don't stress. I know many of you that are new to business used to file your tax return by February 15th. You had your refund and you're done. But if you have a multi-member LLC or S-Corp, you have to wait until your business return's done. So get your, you know, get rolling, but it's okay to extend. It's not the end of the world. And with an S-Corp or LLC, you do not have to send in any tax money with it. Just file the extension. On our newsletter is a link where you can download your extension and do it. Sometimes you can screw that up. If you want our services, there's an email and a phone number and a link to get back to our staff to say, file my extension for me, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so that's part one.
Mm-hmm.
Part two, if you have an LLC or corporation, there are renewal dates that are annual. For example, let's say, Matt, you go out and set up an LLC in Tennessee in July. Well, every July is your annual renewal. So you would pay you do your renewal every July and you would think you'd be okay. Well, in about half the states, you do your renewal when you set up your entity. So every July you would do that. But Tennessee is one of those states that says, nope, once you set up your LLC with us, you have to renew it by the 1st of April every year with the Secretary of State. Now, this is not your tax return, people. This is your renewal to keep your entity in good standing. Now, this is why we have a company maintenance program with four paralegals, maybe five, that are just coordinating company maintenance renewals. And Becky contacted me today and said, Mark, when you're on the show, you've got to tell people the March 15th deadlines for renewals and franchise taxes. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll get them out there. So March 15th, and I'll give you the ones in April too quickly, but March 15th is Vermont. You have to renew your entity. And this is corps due by March 15th. LLCs are by March 31st. California, all of you out there listening, that is your franchise tax deadline is March 15th. So in the next 10 days, you have to send in your $800 for your S-Corp or LLC if it was established last year. So you got to send that in by March 15th. There's a link to the form on our newsletter. Massachusetts are corporations only, not LLC. So if you have a Massachusetts S-Corp, and we just had an email today, Matt, didn't we? Client said, I didn't know I was supposed to pay by March 15th. And the client was a little upset that they didn't realize this, but we had already reached out to them and put out the fire and let them know you got to file your franchise tax for Massachusetts by March 15th. Ugh. So some of these you have to do before or not on your annual renewal anniversary. Matt, what do you want to say? I mean, this it's a big topic, but we've got to talk about it.
Yeah, man. Geez, you should write a book about that stuff.
You're the color commentary. You're supposed to make light of
that. I'm speechless because I'm bored to death. All these renewals.
Okay. I'm going to just quickly, just because some of you may, now I want to say,
okay,
no, I'm not done yet. This is important though. This is important, right? You know, this is important.
Okay. I know it's important, but
I know for some of you that are catching this recording after March 15th and you're like, oh my gosh, I did not file an extension for my LLC or S Corp that I set up in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your tip. Get your return done immediately. Even if you have to amend it later, at least take your best shot at it, get info in and get it filed. Cause the penalty is $195 per owner per month.
Yeah.
The other thing is if some of you are going, oh my gosh, I did not renew my entity by the deadline, then call our CMP team and they can reinstate it. Now, sometimes there's an extra fee to do that, but you don't have to refile your whole entity. Talk to Becky Lloyd at our office. Just call our office and go, Becky, hook me up, get me on track. And then they'll remind you every year so you don't have to worry about this. We also put this in our newsletter. This is why some of you go, I don't want to open a tax and legal newsletter. Well, we do it for free every week. We have a newsletter and we put these deadlines in there for a reason so that you can go, oh, I better deal with this. So just open it up and scan it. It takes 2 minutes. All right, Matt, are you okay if I just read April 1st real quick since we're just 2.5 weeks out?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so these are March 31st.
No pain, no gain.
You know? I know. I know. I'm totally Debbie Downer on our show right now. This is so bad. Sorry for all you Debbies out there. Isn't that terrible that your name is connotated with a Debbie Downer? Okay.
I know.
All right, so here is March 31st or April 1st renewals for your entities. Now, this is S-Corps and LLCs. These are your renewals. Wisconsin, Connecticut, Nebraska, Georgia, Iowa, Washington, D.C., New Hampshire, and Tennessee. That just gets us through April 1st. So that's 3 weeks from now. You have to renew your entity. Now, Nebraska, Iowa, and Washington, D.C., the first year of those dates, and then it's biannual after that and blah, blah, blah. Again, this is minutia I don't even want to deal with either. Let your paralegal team do this. We charge $150 bucks a year. Done. But anyway, those are the states that you have to do your renewal by April 1st. These will be in the newsletter as well. Matt, that was my tip. Ugh, it was a lot.
Yeah. Keep your entity active. Of course, you only need to remember the ones where you have your entities in. You don't got to know all 50 states like our 5 paralegals have to do and crisscross, but they keep it all organized if you're with company maintenance with our team, of course, and just focus in on the states where you have to worry about renewal in your specific situation. It's not too overwhelming.
Yeah. And next, there's some articles in our blog right now and in the newsletter on what if I can't pay my taxes? What are the penalties? How do I get on a payment plan? And that relates, Matt, to your tip of don't get your passport in jeopardy.
Yeah, you got a trip planned, you know, to a foreign country or Puerto Rico. read the article about getting on a payment plan so you can get your dang passport.
I'm not going to outlive that one. That was brutal. Thank you.
You bet. That was like my comment when I talked about bench pressing 225 pounds.
That's true. I milked that one also.
If I had that one back, I'd take it back.
Hey, did you really bench press 225? Oh, man. You brought it up. You're screwed now. No.
I was trying to, I was trying to make you feel not so bad.
Thank you. Just bring me down to your level. See, that's what they say. Your real friends will just bring you down to their level so that you're
was going down to your level. You're already down there because you think Puerto Rico.
Whose level are we at? Whose level? Down to your level. Going down to your level. All right. Well, but anyway, next week, my tip, I'm going to promise it right now, my tax tip next week will be, what if I can't make my payment by April 15th? And some of you may owe. What are the penalties? What are the interest? You're still going to file an extension, people, because not filing an extension is worse than not paying. It's crazy. I know that sounds weird. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the IRS is like that boyfriend or girlfriend. You went on a date with them, and they just want to know what's going on. If you keep them in the dark, they're going to assume the worst. They're going to assume you're cheating.
Yep.
I mean, the parallels here are amazing.
Yep. That nasty text or letter is going to come.
Yeah. They're going to just say, what the freak are you doing? Why did you not return my call? You sent me a tax return last year, but now you're ignoring me. Mm-hmm. Why are you ignoring me? Do you have someone else in your life? They just want to be in touch. They just send them an extension. Yeah. I'm still your friend. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Staying in touch.
Now they're going to revoke your passport so you can't go date another country.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. You were going to go date Australia? Nope. You're staying home. You're grounded. Oh, man. Yeah. The IRS, they're nasty. They'll just, they're jealous. That's what they are, Matt. They're jealous.
They are.
They want their fair share. Yeah. And if you don't keep them informed, they're going to assume that you're trying to cheat on them. Okay. Well, you ready for our main guest?
Yeah, let's get into this cybersecurity topic.
Okay, well, I have the honor of introducing our special guest, Maria Rote. She is at the Small Business Administration Center in Washington, D.C. At the moment, she's in New York at a conference. We're lucky to have her breaking away to speak with us. I've got to introduce some of her credentials here because we're so lucky to have her and you, the listener. This is a special treat. She is the Chief Information Officer with bringing almost 30 years of experience to the SBA. She served in the Department of Transportation as the Chief Technology Officer. She's a graduate of University of Maryland and the Harvard Business School Executive Program. She's served in 10 years in the Homeland Security offices, including service in the Federal Risk Management Authorization Program and Deputy Director of Technology Development for TSA. And we just go on and on. She has just got this incredible resume. Maria, welcome. And thank you for joining us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think, Maria, the only place you didn't work was CTU with Jack Bauer from 24. And I think you worked there. That kind of made. Sounds like this.
Did they consult with you when they shot the movie or the TV show 24? Because they should have.
No, they didn't.
What were they thinking?
It's all fake then. We know that.
Yeah, it's all fake. Yeah. I thought it was real, but I guess not. So, well, I'm a Jack Ryan fan, so that could maybe we'll get some good references there. So, Maria, tell us when you were undercover in the Middle East, what was it like?
yeah. Considering I've never set foot in the Middle East. Let me tell you about it.
All right. Well, Maria, thanks for joining us. Matt, I know you wanted to kind of lead off with a question here, so I'll let you start.
Yeah. I mean, what do you see as risks for small business owners? You know, those out running a business from a technology and security point, what do you see as the main risks where those who are small businesses that aren't big enough, they don't have their own IT department, you know, they don't have all these major resources. What do you think are the risks that they face in information and technology?
For small business owners, I think taking care of the basics is a big deal. Phishing is probably the number one threat vector, you know, phishing through email, clicking on
phishing?
Something
Can
that
you
you're not.
That? We see that in email. What is that? Where, how would you detect?
Yeah, when somebody sends you an email, for instance, and it looks legitimate, it looks like it's from, say, the IRS, it looks like from a vendor. Usually there's something not quite right with it, a typo or the grammar or something like that in there. But if you click a link in there and it takes you off to some site, it can introduce, you know, malware. It can introduce, bad things into your system and where any of the data that you have on your computer can get pulled out. That's very simply stated, but those phishing is probably, you know, one of those big threat vectors where people just don't think about it. They just click on a link and they go, oh, well, this took me here. Little do they know in the background that there's, you know, malware software running that's going to start picking up their data, picking up their logins and being able to use that. So if you have a small business that uses, you know, some other company for their financial, their payroll, those passwords and those logins could be, you know, pulled right out of there through a very simple phishing attack. I think, so that's one. Okay. You know, for a small business owner, back to the basics, keeping your virus protections up to date, not using simple passwords. There's a third one, you know. Those basic things go a long way to protecting the data. Even if you're a small business owner with one or two computers and you keep things on your immediate computers, you're not storing it in the cloud or doing any of that. Those very simple things can go a long way to protecting the information that you have.
Now, Mark here, and I know that you're doing a lot at the SBA to help business owners and they don't even know what you're doing. And we want to hear about that, but explain how big the threat is right now. What are you seeing out there, which we probably don't, of how scary it is?
You know, we at the SBA, we've put in a lot of tools and technologies. I've been there for about 2.5 years now, and we've really come a long way in what we're doing at SBA and managing our data. We have data for more than 30 million businesses, small businesses, entrepreneurs. So anybody that's used SBA services, we have your information, right? And the onus is on us to protect that data and protect that information. Because even if you're getting some kind of certification or a loan, putting in for those type applications or even training, we have that information and we have to protect it. You don't want it to get out because some of it is sensitive personal information, particularly if you're applying for a loan or some kind of a certification. And we've really gotten our arms around our monitoring, our management, who's logging into our network. People are not allowed to log in. We've put in a lot of controls around manage that environment where we know where our data is, who's using our data. We know we don't allow people to just arbitrarily plug things in our network. If anybody tries to plug something in on our network, a server or something, it's immediately flagged. So we're being very proactive about those things. We're encrypting our data so that, it's just not openly available for, if something should happen. We're putting our arms around how even the SBA employees, how they're storing their data. You know, we're not letting them just put things out for sharing in Google Docs. Well, Google Docs is not in the authorized list of things that our employees can use. So we've tightened up the tools and technologies so that we can, protect that data. It's really important.
Well, and I guess what I was getting at is, and I would suspect that SBA, we're safe working with you and going through an SBA loan and contacting you and going to a small business development center. I remember being a brand new entrepreneur 25 years ago when I was in college and went to the SBDC and learned how to create a business plan and got some support. And so I just have so much, comfort and feel secure working with the SBA. But do you see stats? Like, are there any kind of just statistics that fly across your desk of how crazy it is out there and what the risks might be, the number of attacks that occur on a regular basis and who you might be working with to help put them out of business? Do you have any info like that?
Yeah, we do. So at the SBA, we just like anybody else are subjected to phishing attacks. So, we've got blockers in place. So several, 6,000 phishing attempts that we've blocked over the last 6 to 12 months. We actually work with DHS where I have a 24/7 security operations team. One of their jobs is through these phishing attempts or any of the other any of the attacks or anything like that that's coming in, we've identified bogus sites out there that are trying to exploit people. So we work very closely with DHS. We've identified almost 300 of those over the last year, and we work very closely and we report that to DHS. We call that a site takedown. So we work with DHS and say, hey, we've identified a bad site out there on the internet. Here's the web address. We work with DHS and they will work to take that site down and get it off the internet. So we've worked very closely with DHS on things like that. So we're seeing the threats coming in and we're just not blocking some of these things. We're trying to be proactive with it, reporting it up to DHS, reporting it to where it needs to go. So that not just SBA is helped by that we are actually helping the public because we're helping on these site takedowns by reporting it up and DHS doing their work. So this is actually, it's actually kind of cool what we've done in this space, being able to work with DHS and getting these site takedowns.
Let me transition back to, I'm always like, man, crap, what should we be doing? What should the typical business owner be doing? What should the individual be out there doing? It's important we know our, institutions, government agencies or financial institutions, they've got the procedures and we can trust in them. But what else can we be doing? You talked about phishing being a issue and maybe there's bad grammar, like my English degree or my English classes in college might come into use here and be helpful. I can detect bad grammar and know it's a fishing expedition. They used the wrong there. I got them. I'm not clicking on that link. But what about stuff like two-party or two-factor authentication on email or certain accounts? Is that a good idea? Like what things should I do just to put in these little barriers in maybe that help protect me?
Yeah.
Thing a good idea? Should people do that?
Yeah. So even if you're using your bank, for instance, many of the banks are texting codes back right?
Yes.
When you try to log in, turn on those kind of features, because that way you're at least you're getting a text message back saying you have to insert this code mm-hmm. before you can get access to your bank or to whatever, you know, maybe it's your payroll company or something. Use those services. They're put in place for your protection. User ID and password. You know, if you don't have a strong password and, you know, putting in those additional layers goes a long way. So even if somebody got your user ID and password, you know, if they tried to get that and get in, next thing you know, you've got a text coming into your cell phone and you look at it and you go, I just didn't try to log in. Something's wrong. Yeah. So that multi-layer approach is so critical. And small business owners need to be aware of that. You know, you can't have your password be password. You need to put those layers in. It is so critically important.
Now, what about, I wonder sometimes, and I'm fishing here, Rick, to see if you've got a comment on this.
Bad word choice.
If
you're hunting.
How critical is cybersecurity within your organization, you know, with employees that might have access to files or credit card data and those sorts of things? Do you have recommendations for internal controls for employees and staff? I don't know. We try to only have certain people in contact with sensitive data, but you can only do so much because you still got to do business. So I just wonder if anything comes to mind.
Yeah, we do. So for our employees, you know, for our systems that we have, whether it's our financial, you know, our loan systems or our certification programs, things like that, we have what's called role-based access controls. So only employees that have access to a system. So if I'm an employee and I only work on certification programs, I have no business working on, you know, in the financial loans. I have no access to those systems. And we're regularly audited for those kind of things. So, you know, employees that role-based access controls, we actually, last year, starting about a year ago, we've been running monthly phishing exercises for employees to increase their awareness about cybersecurity threats. So not, there's a very layered approach. So we've got the role-based access controls, you know, so people just can't get to any system. You have to be allowed access. And within those systems, you have different access level within those systems, but also being proactive and testing the employees, running those phishing attempts, and where employees clicked on something, we train them and say, okay, look, you just got phished, you know, pay attention, you know, those kind of things. We're also in our monitoring for our employees, you know, we know where people are going and the sites that they're going, and if there's things that they're doing, we report back to the employee and their supervisors.
And Matt,
so putting those controls, you know, the entire federal government, where we, you know, the Federal Information Security Management Act, we have to have those controls around all of our data, all of our operations, multi-layer through the entire technology stack. And that helps protect the data, and it protects our employees.
Well, and I, in preparation for this call, I have to tell all of our listeners, I got with Maria in advance, and we put a special monitoring device on your computer to see if all the websites you were going to, it's not good. Maria, why don't you just close that report right now?
Yeah, that's cool. I'm cool with that, you know. I'm cool with that. Hey, you know, transparency, that's always the best policy.
Yeah.
But let me say on that seriously, what do you feel is that, I mean, that's obviously, I mean, I don't think I'm just trying to think, like, what's the right policy for a business? The government might have a different angle and responsibility. Do you see small businesses restricting certain website access to their employees? Is that a good idea? Is that for the sake of security? Maybe it's for the sake of productivity, so they're not on Facebook all day or something. I don't know. But like, do you?
I think, you know, some of that gets into the size of the business, right? So if you're a single business owner, you're a shop of one, right? Yeah. A shop of one or two.
Yeah.
You know, how are you gonna put that in place? But as your business grows, and next thing you know, you've got a network, and you've got, you know, a dozen, you've got 20 employees. That's where you need to really say, you know what, we have to put some restrictions on. You know, we're not storing our data in a server mm-hmm. underneath our desk anymore. You know, we're protecting the data, and it's not just access, you know, to what's on the computer. There's also physical access. Who can come in and out of the spaces where I'm working? Maybe I'm in a small building, a commercial building, or, you know, a mm-hmm. shopping center or something like that. There's also those physical security layers as well. Who can walk in and out of the building and have access to those kind of things. So the business owner really has to think through that as they're growing in particular. You know, one or two, you start protecting those workstations, those laptops. Where's your data sitting? Where is it residing? And then as you grow, are you storing it in the cloud? Who has access to it? You know, you need to start taking those small steps. I do know that on SBA's website, my CISO, my Chief Information Security Officer, just recently took over the web page on cybersecurity. So he's working to update that now and putting out and posting where there's good toolkits. So there's a lot of businesses out there and nonprofits, you know, here's all the good things you should do, but he's trying to culture some of that to make it available to small businesses. For example, I think it was the Global Cybersecurity Alliance a couple weeks ago put together a toolkit for small businesses, and I heard about it, and I had him, I said, hey, take a look at this. And there's, you know, there's things in there that I think the small business owners ought to take a look at to help them and get them smart. You know, a lot of small businesses, they're already pre-computer savvy, you would hope. You know, young people coming up these days, they were born with a mobile device and a laptop in their hand. So they get, you know, how to use computers, but maybe not so much around the protection. And how much you want to be open around that. So I know at SBA, we're trying to beef up our cybersecurity page. My CISO is taking charge of that to share out information to small businesses and what they should do.
And I love, and I think this is a good time to just give a quick plug. And I know we would say this at the end of the show too, and we only have you for a few more minutes as well, but is the SBA.gov website is phenomenal. And I think every small business owner should get there on a regular basis and look at the resources. There's really so much, and subscribe to any newsletters there. And so just a little shout out there for you, Maria. I think that's
I will add, you know, we've added a lot to it, and we've really updated a lot of the content. You'll still see remnants of the old SBA.gov, but over the last year or so, we've been really working really hard with each of the offices within SBA to update it. So what, about a year ago, we launched a new front end, and we've been working on the back end pieces. So a lot of the content, we're continuing to update all of that to keep it relevant.
Well, I like your approach there, because at the gym, I've been working on the front end, and my wife said I need to work on the back end more. So I'm going to get that going. So I like that approach. Take it in stages, you know. Got a good side and a bad side.
More squats, Kohler. You got to do more squats.
Yeah, more squats.
There you go.
Yeah, the awkward machine where I squeeze my legs together. That's what I got to do. But now I want to just visit one other point that you brought up earlier and just brushed over, because this is a really hard one for me. And I wonder if you have any practical tips, and that's the password issue. Matt and I have had, I think it was a year ago, we had a kind of a security expert come on the show, not as qualified as you. And they're just like, your password should be 10 digits and code and letters and numbers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've got so many passwords I need to know. And he recommended maybe a site where you store all your passwords, and there's one really hard password to get there. And I just don't know. And I think of that movie, Clear and Present Danger, when Harrison Ford is trying to bust into this guy's database. And he walks into the office. Maybe you guys remember this. And James Earl Jones is right behind him. They walk in, and this little nerdy guy, they're like, yeah, we got to break into this. And he's like, call me in a couple days. And Harrison Ford walks off with his coffee. And like 5 seconds later, he's got it, I'm in. And he's like, what? How'd you do that? And he's like, first child, birthday, dog's name, done. You know? And I'm like, that's my password, you know? And I'm like, and I think of that all the time. And it's like, so I don't know, practically, do you have any suggestions on password maintenance and management?
Yeah, you know, change them. Don't use the obvious things, you know, kids' birth dates or things like that. I mean, there's a lot of those practical kind of things. And, you know, don't use the same password for 2 years. Just change it continually and keep it up to date, and don't have it 4 letters. I think he was on point about, you know, keeping it longer. And then I think adding that extra layer, like we talked about, like with banks and others that send a text code back to your phone with, you know, six numbers in it, use that and use those capabilities in partnership, you know, in conjunction with your passwords. You know, it's hard. Yeah. Passwords are hard. We would love to get away from that 100%. I don't think we're going to get there yet anytime soon. But I know, you know, just businesses overall are changing their methodology. So, but to the greater extent, we're stuck with passwords for now. But that's changing. Yeah. And I think the biometrics is going a long way. At home, you know, I use, you know, I have Microsoft operating system at home, and, you know, I have the camera and it looks at me. And so the biometrics is getting away from the password. I will tell you, my daughter looks very much like me. And we ran a test to see if she could pass the biometrics thing with the, mm-hmm. the Windows Hello. And it thought about it and it looked at her and it kept looking for you and it did not let her in. And we do look very much alike. But the biometrics is going to continue to take us a long way to get away from the passwords as well.
And I did that biometrics, and then Brad Pitt was still like logging in under me. And I was like, seriously? You know?
Yeah. So,
I really was upset.
Yeah,
I had to text him and say, dude, just get a haircut or something. You're killing me. And but
it's yeah. Bad. Because even at SBA, you know, I've got a little pilot going on and we're testing the Windows Hello. I mean, I've been using it at home for a while. And why should work be behind what I'm already using at home? And, mm-hmm. and you know, if it meets the security requirements and what we need for the agency and it meets all those requirements, why can't I use those biometrics instead of passwords?
Maria, it's because you work at the government. there's a delay. I'll just tell you, DMV, they just got computers in my town last year. So, it's
you know what? I will tell you, so I'm going to push back on that a little bit. I'm going to tell you that SBA is one of the more forward-leaning agencies, federal agencies out there. So I'm just going to push on you.
Okay.
I hit a
soft spot there.
As you should.
Yeah. The DMV.
Come on, stand up for yourself, Maria. Don't let him pull you. Well, we really appreciate you coming on. I was just going to say the one thing I've learned and I've liked was you're talking about password too, is the two-factor authentication. That's where, you know, if there's a new device logging on or someone's logging on from a new location, or maybe every 30 days or 60 days it does this, it you put in the password, that's not enough. You've got to, it's going to send code to your phone that's on file or maybe an email on file, and you have to enter in the code to get past the password still there. And I love that. I think it a lot of these phishing things and people that get your passwords that could be logging on in, you know, Indonesia or something. I don't know.
And start China. Using some of those biometrics. Yep.
And you know, I'm going to push back on Indonesia. You know, I don't appreciate that. You know, Indonesia, why do they get a bad rap, Matt? What are you saying?
I don't know. I was going to say China, and I'm like, well, they're pretty smart in China. I don't know. Maybe it's this, you know, they're not like highly technologically advanced. I don't know. No.
Someone had to be in the
example. Someone had to be thrown under the bus. So, Sorry. Sorry, Indonesia.
Well, Maria, thanks so much for being here. I think this has been just a fun conversation and so helpful. And I think the big takeaway for me is to get to SBA.gov website and just type in the search engine cyber and security and get to their pages and everything you're doing there. We really appreciate all you're doing for us from the little guys out here. We want to say thank you.
All right, great. Thank you both.
Thanks, Maria.
Thanks. We'll have you back, hopefully. Keep making America
all right.
safe. Make America safe again. So. All right.
Well, we will be back, of course, next week with another amazing episode of the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. If you love this show, give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast app you're listening to. It really helps other people find the show, and it makes Mark and I feel warm and good inside. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.